Hey, this is Jason Robinson, the pastor of Church of the King, and I'm so pumped up that you're hanging out with us with our podcast today. I pray that God really speaks to you and that you're encouraged and inspired to live your life with everything you have for Him. Hey, I want to encourage you to check us out over at cotk.org. You can go there and learn all kinds of things about us and when our service times are. And speaking of our service times, I would love to invite you so that I could actually meet you personally on one of our weekend services. I promise you, your kids will love it. You'll have a great time and you'll have a blast. I pray today that God speaks to you through this word. God bless you.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. It's good to see everyone. If it is your first time here, my name's Jason. I'm the pastor here at the church, and I do want to look online. So I know both of our overflows are completely full and people are standing and sitting on the windowsills out there as well. And so, but hey, we love you. It may not be as comfortable as it could be, but come on out. Worship was good and I got a great word for you. Can we give it up for everybody who's watching, wherever you're watching from, everyone online as well. Excited to have all of you here. I'm excited about this series. If you have your Bible, if you would open up at Exodus chapter 3. We're going to go there in a few moments, but a lot's happening. We have our Easter services next week. We have six services total. You heard us talk all about it. One in particular I wanted to make sure everybody knew about is our sunrise service at 6:30 in the morning. If anybody wants to come to that, all the service will be exact same except for that one. Pastor Mitch will be doing that service as well, and so all the family's welcome to come to that. And so that's interesting. Never done one like that before. And then also our Good Friday service. The reason we didn't do one live is because we just, looking at it, we felt like we'd probably have to do three services to get everybody in here for it live. And it was just a lot for our team to try to do all on top of all the Easter stuff. So we just did it online. It was well done by our team. You guys will enjoy that. So gather around, get you some communion elements together, and then do it with your family. So, hey, so many things I love about our church. I love that our church does. One thing in particular that I wanted to highlight, I want to just say thank you to so many of you that you're so faithful in being obedient to giving your tithes and generous when it comes to offerings. And so I want to highlight that in particular because maybe you don't know this, but every penny that comes into the church, not if it's designated, if it's an offering and it's designated, you want to give it to youth or you want to give it to missions or you want to give it to the parking lot, every penny of that goes to exactly what you want it to go to, because it has to. If it doesn't, it's called illegal, all right? So it has to go to that. But all the general tithes that come in, we take 10% of that. It's our tithe. And we take that and we give to what we call kingdom expansion, is what we call it ourselves internally. It's mainly where we give from our missions. We have local missions, national missions, and global missions. So whether you know it or not, you're supporting stuff all over the world and locally whenever you give of your tithes here. And the reason I highlight that is we don't do this very often, but in particular, we have one that came to visit with us this weekend, Pastor Mel from Madrid, Spain, someone that we have been supporting for, man, years. Five, six, seven years, something like that. I can't remember how long it's been. Now, for you guys that don't know anything about Madrid, Spain, it is a very godless area, and I don't have time to go into all the details on it, but when you say, hey, do you want to come to church with me, they run the other direction. And if you look at the history, you'll see why that is, because God, in the name of God, was so badly represented. And so it is hard plowing ground. He'll mention it, but he says it takes up to 2 to 3 years of just being a friend to someone before you even can want to invite him to church, even bring up God in many ways. That's how much they are like run from it because of the way it was represented. And so he's here. And so I asked him if he would just come up for like 2-3 minutes and just share a story or two and just introduce himself, because I want you to see what God is doing through the giving and the generosity of this church. So would y'all give it up for me for Pastor Mel? Pastor Mel, come on up here, man of God.
Love you, my man. All right. Buenos dias. It's so good to see everybody here. Thanks, Pastor Jason. So myself and my family, here's a picture of my family right here. I'm originally from the Philippines, and my wife is originally from Austria. We met in Nashville, Tennessee, and now we live in Madrid, Spain. And because of all of you, we have become your humble missionaries to that part of the globe. Anyway, I would like to quickly share with you two testimonies of what's been happening there. Living in a postmodern culture in Spain, everything is relative. What is true for you, that's only for you, but it's different for me. And you know what? Just like what Pastor Jason mentioned, a typical Spanish person would not want to go to church, would not want to have anything to do with religion, Jesus Christ, or anything like that. It may be difficult, but how many of you believe that it's not impossible to reach them for Christ? Just like this guy named Claudio, on your left, he's a Spaniard, and we were able to know him, and then after a couple of years, then he was able to be open to talking about Jesus Christ, and eventually has been coming to church. I asked him how the church has been helping him, and here's what he said. Let me read it to you, because it's an amazing thing for him to say this, being a Spaniard himself. He said, you know, our church has helped me in three areas: camaraderie, spirituality, and inner peace. Camaraderie, because here I find friendship, and the people are always nice and always there for me. He's talking about our small group. Spirituality and inner peace, because every time I listen to the messages and songs in church, I experience peace inside of me. In fact, so much so that I listen to the songs at home because I found them, here's what he said, on YouTube. Our church helps me in terms of my spiritual life. Now, the lady on your right now, her name is Heidi, and she's originally from the Dominican Republic, but it's been there in Madrid, Spain forever. And the same way, I ask her how the church has been helping her. And here's what she says. She says, our church has helped me mature as a person. I always learn new things through my life group. Our church helped me to know how to forgive, how to value people around me, and most of all, how to talk to Jesus without any fear. The church completely changed what I thought about a church, because here I could see that we are a family, and my favorite, and the pastors are not dictators. That really shows you what's been happening. They love people and they love God, and that for me is the most important thing. Again, I'm sharing these wonderful testimonies with you because I want you to know something. Every Sunday, you are not just touching the lives of people here in Katy, but also all the way back in Madrid, Spain. Your generosity transforms people's lives. So Church of the King, thank you for sending us. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for expanding the kingdom of God. Muchísimas gracias.
Yes. Hey, do me a favor. Would you stretch your hands out? Let's pray for Pastor Mel. Father, I thank you for Pastor Mel right now. Thank you for the work that he's doing, Lord God, where many would not want to go to a hard, dark area like that. You sent him in. And God, you've put a special anointing on his life. And so, Father, we as a church family send him out right now. We pray the same anointing that has rested on this place would rest upon him and his church. God, Father, I pray supernatural breakthrough. Leaders would come his way. And God, we'd see many, many souls come to Christ because of the work that he's doing. We stand behind him. We hold his arms up today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all give it up for Pastor Mel one more time. They just teach y'all how to dress in Europe. This is cool. I wore my white shoes because I knew you were coming, man of God. I just knew. Hey, in all seriousness, he'll be walking around after service. Say hello to him. Go ask him questions if you want. And hey, in all seriousness, if God moves upon your heart, give sow into what's going on there. Maybe give a little money or something. Say, hey, let this go towards the kingdom, because that's a hard, hard grind. He's in to help raise money so that he can go back and keep funding what he's doing. And so we are 100% behind him as a church. God puts it on your heart. Go talk to him after. So we just want to be a blessing. Amen. Amen. All right, so Exodus chapter 3, we're finishing a series called The Names of God. The Names of God. And what we've been doing is we've been going over some of the names of God. You guys can put that back on the screen there if you haven't already. Okay, you already did. All right, and we've been going over the names of Jehovah. We've taken a couple out over the last couple weeks, and we've really done a deep dive on all these different names. And I really love doing this in particular, and really this part of sharing about God and his character. I'll tell you why, because a lot of people come to church, myself included sometimes, and it's like, okay, what am I supposed to do? Like, tell me what to do, how am I supposed to do, when am I supposed to do it, in which way am I, all these different things. And what I love to do is talk about not just what we're supposed to do, but who God is and what he's already done. Because we can get so caught up in what we're supposed to do, we completely miss out on who God is and what he does. Matter of fact, if you look in scripture, the true fact is this, is that it's not about what we should do, it's about what we do because of what he's already done. Matter of fact, he's the one who goes first. Scripture says this, it's not that we loved him, but we can love him because he first loved us. He was the initiator. He was the starter. And so my goal today is I want to show you with the names of God to build some confidence on the inside of you. Build a perspective and saying, whatever I'm doing, I know what he's doing because that's who he is. And what I really want to do is I want to activate you today. This final message of this whole series we've been doing, I want to activate. I want to take these names of God and I want it to be more than, oh, that was a good message. That was inspiring. I want you to be able to take it and I want you to be able to live your life with it. And so I hope to do that today. So I entitled the message this. I'm not taking one name, but I'm called it this. He is, therefore. He is, therefore. We've been talking about who he is, therefore, what is our part now? Now we're going to go into the story, Exodus 3. We've been talking about Moses throughout this whole series, talking about the story of how Moses, for you guys that do not know or not familiar with the story, how he was born and I don't want to go into all the details. It took me a long time to set up the whole scenario. But Moses ended up being one of the second in command. He was the prince of Egypt, as the movie would explain. There was a moment where he saw his people being persecuted, and when he did, his anger took over, and he killed an Egyptian who was persecuting them, and he was found out, and he ran away. And when he ran away, he went to Jethro. It eventually was his father-in-law, and he was content with being away from the Egyptians, being away from everything. And being out there, then he had a burning bush moment where God came and spoke to him. That's what we're going to talk about today. God tells him to go back. He goes back to Pharaoh, says, let my people go. Eventually, after all these plagues, he lets them go. They cross the Red Sea. Then they're in the wilderness. Then ultimately, he passes away in the wilderness, hands the baton off to Joshua, and Joshua takes him into the promised land. But we're going to go all the way back to the moment that he was gone. He was out. He was, hey, I'm going to be over here. And he had a moment with God. We've been talking about the names of God, and many of these names came from the context of this story of Moses. But this is what I would call the centerpiece of knowing God and his names and the power of it. So here's the account of the story. Verse 7, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites. I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask, what is his name? Then what shall I say? And here it is. Here's the centerpiece of all this. I am has sent you. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the God, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. The name you should call me from generation to generation. Pray with me. Father, thank you for this day. God, I pray your spirit would be with us. God, as I share this word one last time this weekend, Lord, Father, I pray you would help me. I am very aware. I have been very aware throughout this whole weekend that what man can explain God? What man can take the name of God and make it understandable where we truly get it? No one really can. And so, Father, I pray a spirit of revelation, though, somehow you would use these words and you reveal it and help it explode in all of our hearts on who the God we truly serve is, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. So I've kind of been on this little kick, I've been trying out and been checking out over the last couple of years, and I've kind of had some fun with it. It's this thing, maybe you heard of it. It's this thing called Facebook Marketplace. Okay, if you guys that do not know, you can go on Facebook and you can post things that you want to sell or see things that you want to buy. So let me just ask in church, how many of you have ever bought something or sold something on Facebook Marketplace? Where you at? Okay, all right. So a bunch of us, all right, a bunch of us in here. And so I remember when I would go, you go on there and you say, hey, listen, there's a chair that's $75, and hey, you message them, hey, I'll give you $50 for it, and like, okay, I'll take it, and then you get to this point and you go like, well, let's meet up. And like, okay, well, where you want to meet? And they say something like, behind Home Depot. Like, nope, at noon at the police station. I'll meet you at 12. That's how this is going to go. And the first couple of times, man, I ain't going to lie, it's a little scary. I mean, the first time I went to do it, I was acting all like, no big deal. My wife's like, are you all right? Man, they're not going to kill you or nothing. I'm like, no, babe, I'm fine. I walked out, I was like, Lord, please don't let them kill me. You know, I mean, it's like a little scary. And you go out, I don't know if you've ever done it, but you go there, and man, it kind of feels like a drug deal a little bit. It's like, you, Bill? You got the stuff? You know, I mean, it kind of feels like that. I mean, not that I know what a drug deal is like. I really don't. Saw it in a movie. All right, so anyway, it's true. It really is true. But I learned, as you get there, you know, okay, we're going to meet somewhere. This is going to buy. You got to start explaining because you've never seen them. They've not seen you. And so, I learned something. I'm not good like at explaining myself where, like, makes a difference, right? It's like, well, tell me what you... I'm dark hair, dark eye, dark skin. Well, good thing there's none of them in Houston, Texas, right? None at all that fit that description. And I'm trying to explain, like, my trucks. Like, I'm in a blue truck, but it's like, it's actually like considered metallic gray, but it's blue, but it's metallic. Just, look, I'll be standing on the outside, all right? Just so I'll be looking like, and I mean, this one time I went out there, I came from the house and I was explaining, hey, I'm standing by my truck and I have a sweatpants. I have sweatpants and slippers, and a hoodie. And I'm like, I look like a gangly homeless man standing next to a blue truck, all right? That's what it is. Trying to explain myself so that we can meet up. And I had this thought this week. I was like, how does God explain himself? How does he explain himself? Like, I'm God. You know, I mean, how does he actually do that? And that's what happens in this moment. Like, Moses is like, well, God, who am I supposed to tell who you are? And the way he tried to explain himself, he goes, well, I am. Let me explain myself. I am who I am. That's I'm the one that sent me. Now let me dig a little bit deeper into this verse. Let me dig it deeper into I am who I am. Actually, I have this up on the screen for you. Whenever this verse comes, you do, and you interpret it into Hebrew, this is actually how it's pronounced in Hebrew. Now, here in the West, we read from left to right. In that culture, they read from right to left. So this is what they would say. Haya, hove, ye, ye. Now, that's a Cajun trying to speak Hebrew for you, right, in church. And so if there's a Messianic Jew in here, I am sorry. Okay, I tried. But what do they basically say? How do you explain... How do you say these things that God, I'll tell you, this is how they explain God. He was, he is, and he'll always be. He was, he is, and he'll always be. Matter of fact, many Jewish scholars, they won't write the whole name of God out. If you know anyone that's Jewish, that's right, many times you'll see they'll have G and they'll do a slash. They won't put an O. They'll do a slash and they'll do a G. I'll tell you why. It's because they do not believe there's not a word, there's not a sentence in human history that can explain God. He's just too massive. He's too awesome. He's too great for that. You can't explain it. So what are they saying? They're saying God's name is the very definition of existence. In other words, without him, it isn't. With him, it is. It's just, he is, I am. Now, let me go a little deeper with I am. That word I am, that when it's translated into the Hebrew, it actually means this, Eheyeh. Eheyeh, I am. It's mentioned three separate times in this verse where A-hey-yay, and watch this. This is what it means. This is what it's saying. God is saying, God in this insisting, you cannot categorize me. I just am. You can't put me in a box. I just am. This is who I am. Let me try to explain it another way. God created, this is why it's hard for us to get how big and awesome God is. That's why we're going through these names. I'm wanting to show you this. God created space and time. He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What did he do? He created space. So he created, okay, we live in this space that he created. Then he said, let me create light that separate light from the day. What is he doing? He created time. So now he creates this time and this space, and he puts us into time and space. And what we struggle understanding is God lives outside of that. And we often, as humans, try to pull him within our time and space and then judge him by what he's doing and not doing by what we consider time and space. And then God goes, I'm not any of that. I'm over all that. Let me make it make sense. For me, I can understand. For some reason, I can wrap my mind around things keep going, you know. It's going forever and forever and forever and forever. But I have a hard time understanding when this whole thing start. Well, God, when this thing start, you know what God says? I am start. Well, when did this thing begin? I am begin. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning of the end. And we're like, well, I don't understand that. Well, I'm God, and you're not. You're not going to. And so when we often try to pull him, realizing the God we sang to, that's him. Yeah. Outside of space and time. How do you explain it? You can't. Well, how does this matter in my life? You know, when you need wisdom, guess what? I am has it. You need direction, guess what? Here's the good news. I am. When you ask God, how do I do this? He goes, I am. I need peace, God, I am. He is, I am. Whatever you're walked in with, what's the answer? He is. Yeah. He's the answer. That he's above all this. He's past all this. And now let me get a little even really personal. What really, the series that we've done, all that I'm wanting so badly, I'm trying so hard to help every single one of us and all of our overflow, every single person that's hearing this, I want us to grasp this. I don't want it to be a good message. I want it to activate in your life. And it comes from a very, very deep personal place. I could probably go throughout my life and there's just a couple moments and events throughout my life that I could say I truly was before this time and then after this time. This was Jason before and this is Jason after. This was one. I'd say it was probably about 12 years ago or so. And I have alluded to this a couple times. If you were here a couple weeks ago, I alluded to this. I went through a real heavy time. I don't want to say dark time because I didn't think of anything really dark, but it was just heavy and cloudy. And it's like this cloud was over me and I couldn't seem to want to get up out the bed. I didn't have any vision. I didn't have any vibrant life. Now, here's the thing. That's strange for me, okay? Because my natural personality, I am faith-filled. I am optimistic. I believe there's hope. For people who struggle with, they have that attitude, if anything bad's going to happen, it's going to happen to me. I'm like the opposite. I'm like, if anything good's going to happen, it's going to work out for me. I really am positive about that. I really am, and I'm wired that way. So when all of a sudden came on me, I was like, what's going on? I remember talking to my wife about it. I remember going to meet with some counselors about it, going, I don't know what's going on here. I remember meeting with some different pastors and asking my pastor, say, hey, this is what's going on. I don't know. And here's the thing. Nobody could help me. And I would ask questions, and I kept waiting for somebody to say, well, here's the deal, Jason. You need to do this and this, and everything will be fine. And they couldn't give it to me. They couldn't tell me. And I didn't know how to handle it. So, let me tell you what began to happen. Because I finally realized no one's going to be able to help where I'm at. Because I don't even know how to explain this. I remember getting up earlier than normal in the mornings, and I began to really pray to God. And you know, there's a big difference between praying to God because you should pray because that's the right thing to do. And like, God, if you don't show up, I don't know how this is going to turn out. And I was desperate. I would read the Bible, and I always read the Bible, but I mean, I was reading. I began to start journaling. I'd never really done that before. Worshiping, and and crying out to God. And I said, God, I need you, God. I don't know how to get through this. And I would spend a lot of time just spending with God because I knew he's all, God, you're the only one that can help me. And this is where I came up with the sentence that I shared with you last week when it says, you never really know God is all you need until Jesus is all you have. Now, a lot of people think, oh, when Jesus is all you have, you think when you don't have anything, okay, you need God. I have found one of the hardest places is not when you don't have anything, but it's when you actually have everything you think should make you happy. I have all the stuff. My career is where I wanted it. Like, I have the marriage, I have the kids, and if you'd have looked at my life, you'd been like, dude, you're like so blessed. Yes, and I would even tell you, yes, I know. Why do I feel this way? And this is where I learned to do what I'm gonna teach you today. So this is coming from a place, this is coming from an honest place where this changed everything for me, and I hope it helps you a whole lot today. Now, I'd love to tell you, I began to do this, and all of a sudden, whew, everything was great. The truth was, I slowly walked out of it. And it got, guess what, I got lighter and lighter. It got brighter and brighter. And for some of you here today, you might be looking for one thing to fix it all. And I want to tell you, that I pray that, I hope that happens today. But if it doesn't, God will walk you out of this whole thing. And this is how I learned to use the names of God. I learned to do it in two ways. Let me share these with you. And hopefully this activates in you. And we'll pray for you and let you go. Number one is this. This is just what I did. I learned to speak the names of God. I learned to speak them. I learned to speak them first in prayer. I learned to pray the names of God. I would learn in my time of prayer, I learned how to just, God, I just pray that you're, God, you're Jehovah Jireh. You're my provider. And so I just pray that. About a year ago, if you were in church about a year ago, I talked about praying and I walked you through the Lord's Prayer, an outline in which how I pray. Matter of fact, I didn't know how many, we've had so many people come in the last year. I put it up here for you so you can scan the QR code and you'll get it. It'll pull you up to a document and you'll get what I walked everybody through, the Lord's Prayer. And so leave it up there for a few minutes. A lot of people are wanting to scan it. And at the very beginning, if you go to my house right now, you will see on one of our tables, you will see this outline that's up there, the Lord's Prayer. Can y'all get it? Am I in the way? Sorry, I'm all in the way. Do y'all have it on the outside out there so everybody can get it on the TVs and stuff? Perfect. Thank you. Thank you guys in the back. And at the very, you'll see it when you pull it up. At the very beginning, you'll see declaring the names of God. Yeah. And that's what I would do. And that's what I, by the way, that's what your pastor, you want to know what your pastor's doing in prayer? When my pastor prays, what does he praise about? I just gave it to you. Yeah. And I walk through that outline. And I go through it. And I'll just say, God, you're Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And so, God, I know, although I don't know even what I need, I know you do. And you're going to make sure I get it. God, I thank you that you're Jehovah Rapha. You're the Lord who heals. God, heal my heart. Heal my brokenness. Heal my shame. Heal my hurt, God. I know you'll do it. And I began to just pray. God, I know you're Jehovah Nisi. And so, God, I may not feel like I'm winning the battle. I may feel like I'm losing badly. But you're Jehovah Nisi. You're the Lord, our banner. You're the one that makes sure that we win. And so, God, I just rest in you that I know we're going to win because you are with me. I began to just pray the names. I prayed the names and prayed the names. And then after I would pray the names, I learned throughout my day, I would begin to speak the names over my circumstances. When I would drive around, not know what to do, trying to figure a certain scenario out. How do we handle this? What do we do that? By the way, I'm praying this now. Well, what do we do? You know, we've got to overflow people and all that. And what we're going to end up, what we're going to do? Are you stressed? Are you worried? Are you nervous? No, I'm not worried about it. You know why? Because he's Jehovah Rahi. He's the Lord, our shepherd. Amen. He led us here. Amen. He'll lead us there. Amen. What he has next for us, when he says it's time, we won't be able to miss it. He'll go, it's time. And we'll be like, oh, there it was the whole time. He's the Lord, our shepherd. Yeah. You may be wondering, what am I supposed to do next? Let me tell you this. Press in to the Lord. Let's begin to claim he's the Lord, my shepherd. Yeah. He's the one who's going to set up the circumstances. How do you know what's going on? Knows what's going on. He created all of it.
Yes, yeah. He did.
So he knows. He knows what we need next. So we speak the names of God over our... There's something about the power and the authority of speaking God's name and his characters over our situation. You know what it does? It gets your perspective out of this. And it gets you to see, oh, wait, God's not worried about none of this. Yeah. Man, look what he's. It changes our perspective because there's power and there's authority in a name. You know, there's power and authority in names. I was thinking about a little way to kind of help make this come alive and illustrate. And it made me think of growing up as a kid. It was me and my older sister. And you know, there's always, if there's multiple kids in the family, there's always one who never gets in trouble. Then there's one, they're always the one who gets in trouble. So let's have a confession in church. Everybody in all the areas. Who was the one that you were the good one? You never got in trouble. Going, where you at? Where you at? Okay. All right. That's good. My sister was that one. Anytime she ever did something wrong, my dad would just look at her and say, Vicky, and she'd be like, I'm so sorry. How many of you are like me? You were a little bit more on the mischievous side. You got in trouble. How many of you like me? You had a personal relationship with the paddle. Anybody in here had a personal relationship with the belt and the paddle and try, right? Come on now. And so I know this generation doesn't do that. You know, I know y'all don't do that. But our generation needed it. And now we suffer with this awful condition called respect. It's terrible. It's terrible. Come back. I don't mean to offend anybody. Well, maybe a little. All right. Anyway, so it was not uncommon for me to come home and the school had already called. You know, that's not uncommon. Now, I wasn't bad. I just talked too much. And I would try to take leadership over the rooms, you know. I would just kind of try to control the room all the time. And so that wasn't uncommon. I would come home and my mom would fuss at me. I'm talking about this power in the name. Watch, let's see where I'm going with this. And I come in and my mom's a little short Italian. You don't mess with them little short Italian ladies. You know, they talk with their hands. And I can't believe you did. And I never cared. I was like, I don't care. I'm a man. I'm 13. Or back in those days, it's probably like this. I'm a man. I'm 13. You don't know. You'll find out. Don't worry about it. So. And I didn't care until she would say these five words. Wait till dad gets home. She upped it, dad. That's out. I don't care. She said, go to your room. And I go in my room and I'd be in my room pacing. I'm a grown man, I'm 13. Make me a ham sandwich and move out. You know? I'm not dealing with this. And in my mom, this is what my mom would do, okay? It'd be close to dad getting home, and she'd open the door. Dad'll be home 15 minutes. Come on, just torment me. Torment me. And I'd be like, I don't care. And how many come away? All my people who got in trouble, all right? All my people who got in trouble. How many of y'all were you like me? You knew exactly what the car sounded like when it pulled in. And I'd be like, man, I don't care. Vroom. Come on. Because Larry would come in, my dad, and he'd come in and be like, hey, baby, how was your day? Well, it was fine till your son, Jason, and I'd come in there. Because when dad came in, the room changed. When authority came in there, all of a sudden, all the smart aleck talk, all the thinking I was something, that was over because dad walked in the room. Because authority walked in the room. When we get and understand and begin to speak the names of God, authority just came in the room. Power just came into the room. Oh, I'm struggling with this, that, that, and the other. Oh, no. Jehovah's here. You know what? I don't hope Jesus makes a difference here this morning. I don't hope people's lives are changed this morning. I know they're going to change. You want to know why? Because you're awesome? No! You kidding me? I can't even pronounce the yay, hey, hey names. Jesus is in the room. And he who the Son has set free is free indeed. He's here. So if you're with addiction, you don't have to walk out of here with addiction anymore. Because he's here. You don't have to walk out of here broken and hurting. He's here. You can walk out of here with hope, with faith, with belief. Why? Jehovah is here. You speak the name, you pray it, speak it over your situations. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, here's that authority we're talking about, every knee should bow. in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God our Father. Make no mistake about it, the devil himself will get on a knee and will say, he is Lord of all. But you know what? Why wait for eternity for every knee to bow? We say now, let everything within this earth, let every depression that comes your way, let every little piece of anxiety that tries to come in there, that every fear that has got you riddled in insecurity, may it bow before the knee of Jesus today. Amen? That's good preaching, Pastor. All right, so speak the names of God in prayer. Speak the names over circumstances. And number two is this, just simple. When you begin to speak and pray these names like I'm talking about, I'm not saying this as theory. It's something that's before and after this pivotal moment. I really believe God did that knowing that he was going to send me to start a church eventually to be ready for these moments like this. And you begin to expect. You begin to expect. It's not that God's ever changed. It's just you see things now. Your faith rises. You see things from the perspective of God, the one outside of the I am. Well, of course God's going to do something great. Why? Because that's God. It's what he does. It's who he is. I've had more people tell me, man, I would invite my spouse. I'd invite my friend to church, but whoo, you don't know them, Pastor. They'll never come to church. Our church is full of people who would never come to church. Full. Full. You know why? They can't handle God. Kidding me? I am. Sick. Let I am be released. God will just do what only he can do. Begin to expect. David in Psalms 27. David in Psalms 27. We're going to read this in just a second. This is what he wrote. Now, here's the context. David was running for his life. Had Saul, the king, tried to kill him. Has his army chasing him to kill him. He's running. And in the middle of running, he writes this down. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me. He wasn't given an analogy. That was actually happening. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. Why? Because he knew his God. He knew what to expect. I end with this. I want to give one last little bit to kind of, you know, I'm trying to lift God, show you who your God is, who we sing about. There's a great, great timeless message that was given by a man named Dr. S.M. Lockridge. He was a pastor in San Diego at Calvary Baptist Church, and he stepped into the pulpit actually in Detroit, Michigan in 1976. And before he actually began to preach the message, he started to just share with the crowd on who his king is. And who God really is. And that audio was captured way back in 1976. And people have used it and they have played it. And so I have that audio for you this morning that I want us to play. And there'll be some different graphics and stuff that comes on there that's been overlaid. But this gentleman got up there. And I want to show this again. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to elevate how you see who God is. So that you know he is, therefore. This is a little short video of S.M. Lockridge talking about that's my king.
I wonder if you know him. Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Well, no barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his solar supply. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Do you know my king? Well, my king is a king of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a gateway of glory. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you know him? Well, he's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm come to tell you, the heavens of heaven cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimony to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king.
I end with this. What was the title of the message? He is, therefore. Let me end this whole series with this. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Therefore, I know he will provide my needs according to his riches and his glory. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Therefore, I can pray and the Lord will heal me. It may be in this life or the next, but I will be healed. He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Therefore, I can know whatever battle I may even feel like I'm losing, we will win the war when it's all said and done, because that's who he is. He is Jehovah Mekadesh, which means the Lord who sanctifies me. Therefore, I know God loves me where I am, but boy, he loves me too much to leave me where I am. He's going to bring me out and walk me out of it. He is Jehovah Shalom, God my peace. Therefore, I can know and I can tell anxiety to be gone from me, because if it's not good yet, God's not done yet. He's Jehovah Sitkanu, which means the Lord my righteousness. Therefore, I know that I am holy and I am right before God, not because I'm right, because he's right and he lives in me. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my shepherd. Therefore, as I take steps of faith, I can trust he's already preparing a place for me on what's next. It's what he does. It's who he is. He is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Therefore, whatever you're going through, no matter how unbearable it may feel, you're not alone. He's with you. He strengthens you. He holds you by his mighty right hand. It's who he is. He is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies. Therefore, I can trust and I can know it doesn't matter who's against me. It pales in comparison who's for me. That's my king. So I only have one question. Do you know him?